WK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Donald Trump campaigns in Allentown today, Pennsylvania's Latino belt, as fallout continues over a comedian's remarks equating Puerto Rico with an island of trash. Republican strategist Leslie Sanchez.
It's really important that the president continue to distance himself and really condemn those comments, because that's what people are waiting to hear.
Trump ally Steve Bannon's been released from prison after serving 4 months for refusing to comply with a subpoena to testify in Congress' January 6th investigation. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
When he began serving his sentence in July, Bannon called himself a political prisoner and called the Justice Department corrupt.
A consumer advocacy group finds fewer than half of phone companies are complying with laws requiring them to protect people from annoying robocalls. CBS's Nancy Chan.
Many are asking for extensions, and some say they're unable to apply the blocking technology in rural areas with older infrastructure.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
540 AM WAUK News is brought to you by the new Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 in Waukesha.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. There's a chance today to learn more about the possible MPS changes. Milwaukee Public Schools has put out a list of 13 schools that could potentially close or merge as part of their ongoing long-range master plan. The announcement comes after a significant drop in district-wide enrollment. MPS officials stress that no final decisions have been made. There's a meeting early this evening at the Central Services Building. Doc Rivers, coach of the Bucks, stars in a new Kamala Harris campaign ad. It debuted during the Packers game this week and addresses Trump's horrible city comment about Milwaukee. The ad includes images of the city's lakefront and Giannis. The Harris campaign's focus on sports figures extends beyond Rivers, with former NBA champion Kendrick Perkins endorsing the vice president. He was recently at a voter event in Mequon. There's been a lot of campaigning from national dignitaries in Wisconsin this month. However, Lisa Hale reports not all of it is exclusive to the presidential election.
When Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders spoke in Oshkosh Monday, he encouraged voters to go to the polls. But he wasn't just stumping for the Harris-Walls ticket. He was also there to support Tammy Baldwin.
Of the outstanding members on our committee fighting for veterans' rights, fighting for lower-cost prescription drugs, fighting for a health care system that works for all of us.
Baldwin, who's running for re-election as U.S. Senator, is facing opposition from bank owner Eric Hovde. The general election is 1 week from today.
There's something in the Waukesha water, but they're not sure what it is. Waukesha firefighters responded yesterday to reports of an unidentified substance in the Fox River. Officials say it appeared oily and gave off an unusual odor. Hazmat teams tried to restrict the spread of the mysterious discharge, which was seen coming from a stormwater outlet. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Badgers get ready for the Hawkeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers with another primetime game. They head to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes Saturday night at 6:30. Luke Fickell on what they learned in their loss to Penn State over the weekend.
They made more plays than we did, and in those situations, especially as it came down late in the game, those ones are the critical ones. And they're not like plays out of the ordinary. It's plays that come along with execution, and plays that come along with being poised enough throughout that entire game to be able to anticipate some of those things. And as you look back at it, that's where, to me, I'd say they did a better job.
NFL, an MRI shows no serious damage for Jordan Love. The Packers quarterback played against the Jaguars with a groin injury. Matt LaFleur.
I just thought it was a pretty gutty performance. He was definitely hurting his ability to move, to really drive the football. You know, I thought it was just a tough, gritty performance.
NBA, the Bucks lose to the Celtics 119-108. They've now lost three in a row. They're in Memphis Thursday night for Halloween. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
540 WAUK weather is brought to you by Plaza Garibaldi, now serving authentic Mexican and American breakfast. Start your day out right at Plaza Garibaldi, 2301 Silvernail Road in Pewaukee.
It is going to be warm and windy today with near record highs in the upper 70s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south, gusting to between 30 and 40. Tonight, 66. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with falling temperatures and a chance of thunderstorms late tomorrow into tomorrow night. We'll drop into the upper 60s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Plaza Garibaldi is now serving an exciting new breakfast menu featuring delicious American classics alongside your favorite Mexican dishes. Known for having the best Mexican food in Pewaukee, they're thrilled to have the former cook from Euros West whipping up authentic, flavorful meals. Indulge in Eggs Benedict, biscuits and gravy, omelets, or hearty low-carb breakfast now with Euro meat options. Open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner Tuesday through Saturday from 6 till 10 and Sundays from 11 till 8. Start your day out right at Plaza Garibaldi in Pewaukee. In a hurry, pop in at Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 gas station in Waukesha, where you'll find gas, coffee, soda, snacks, and even alcohol, and serving food from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy a breakfast burrito or biscuit sandwich. How about a delicious Hunt Brothers pizza or juicy Cooper's Express fried chicken? Chicken sandwich with pepper gravy? Wings, tenders, fish, or shrimp with all your favorite sides? Step in or order ahead at 262-933-4747. Hop and Shop in Waukesha.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, we share a teaser for the new show, Wabino Volunteer Fire. Tim McCormick from the Harley-Davidson Museum joins to talk the 115th anniversary and Wisconsin-based comedian, Dobie Maxwell.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. You sound like you...
Does he sound like me?
Yeah, it sounds like he's got something. Are you coming out with something, Calvin?
I might have had a little bit of a frog in my throat, but I'm doing okay.
Oh, okay. Okay, well.
I've got a bullfrog in my throat. Well, I went from tenor to bass here this morning.
This other guy, he's in here and he's, you know, sounds like there's something that ain't right.
Yeah, well, it's another morning. I'm awake. I'm alive. I'm just a little subpar.
Well.
Like I said, I can sing bass.
Yeah. if by now you don't know who that is, that's my co-host Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, my friend.
And how am I? Well, I'm, like I said, I'm hanging in there. Another day. We had 7 days. 7 day countdown.
A week from today.
Yep.
Sandy.
It won't, however, be all over at the end of a week from today. First of all, we all know that there's a long counting process for all these early votes and absentee votes, et cetera. So it'll be Wednesday sometime, at least, before there's an announcement. Although it's expected, much as he did last time, that at least one of the candidates will undoubtedly announce that he, I'm using the masculine there, that he is the victor, probably early on Tuesday night, leaving everyone to try and clean up afterwards.
Are you feeling optimistic?
Well, if optimistic would mean that Harris was going to win, I guess I'm definitely in neutral. I can't tell. You know, first of all, the media has done quite a job of trying to make sure that it always seems like it's very, very close, because that obviously excites a great deal more interest to the media. And the candidates themselves, all the things we get mailed to us, texted to us, emailed to us to raise money, tell us that, oh, my God, the other side's winning. You've got to give money. So, I mean, the news we get is always designed to rattle our cage and make us operate out of something close to fear that what we want isn't going to happen unless we do something. So, you know, that tempers everything. I definitely have some form of battle fatigue here. I mean, in spite of the cold, I also, I think, have something that's not quite PTSD yet, but there's a fatigue about this campaign. Donald Trump all the time, you know, every day, you know, he sucked the wind out of the campaign. I was saying, you know, before the show, my view of Donald Trump's grift is twofold. One, be in the press every day. Do anything it takes to be as to be as notorious as possible, to get as much attention as possible, because when he's getting attention, Kamala Harris is not getting attention. And secondly, everyone is out there to make apologies for Donald Trump, because Donald Trump, the other part of the grift, is promise everybody everything and let everyone believe that the thing you're promising that they want is the one thing you're going to carry through on, and everything else is just designed to get yourself elected. So, you know, Ron Johnson last week was doing the revisionist apology for Donald Trump, saying, no, he's not going to have across-the-board tariff increases, even in spite of the fact that Donald Trump promises this daily, right? Or that he's going to deport tens of millions of people, or millions and millions of people at least, right?
11 million is what he said.
Yeah, so, you know, is he going to? You know, there are plenty of people who come on afterwards and say, well, maybe not. You know, he doesn't really mean that. So, I mean, he's got all these apologists following him. So what is the effect? Blunderbuss. Promise everything and let people pick and choose.
So, Sandy, you said, he says, promise people everything. And I wonder, let's say Donald Trump wins. Heaven forbid. Let's say he wins. The people right now who are following him and saying he didn't mean that, will they do that once he becomes president?
Well, you know.
No.
Well, he's a one-term president, okay? So
yeah.
So does he care? I mean, all he wants to do, he says this too. He says, look, I have to say a lot of things that I say so I can get elected, right? Well, I think that's everything about what he's doing. He's doing everything he is designed to simply get him elected. What he does after he's elected, it's going to be all about Donald Trump and securing power for Donald Trump. It's going to be lots of what is in Project 2025, whether he wants to talk about it or not. It's going to be control of the Justice Department, control of the FBI, control of the U.S. attorneys around the country, getting rid of the Department of Education. These are all things that he's definitely going to do.
You know, Sandy, he talked about taking away taxes on the tips, taking away taxes on Social Security, taking away taxes on these things. All of those different things that he's talking about, revenue, that a government that's already short revenue, and he's talking about taking away even more revenue, and yet the people don't even give that a second thought.
Well, that's because he's also said, well, I'm going to get so much revenue from tariffs. When he was asked the question in the Chicago Economics Club about what he was going to do about child daycare, he said, well, there's going to be so much revenue coming in from tariffs that's just a small line item in the budget, the need for child daycare support. We're going to take care of that. He meandered off into one of his weaves about Ivanka and this and that and child daycare. But, you know, his promise is so much revenue from tariffs that all this other stuff can be financed, including all the tax deductions, even though many of the people who are wise enough to realize that his tariff policy is harebrained will say, well, that's just a negotiating tool, and he's not really going to implement the tariffs. Well, he's not going to implement the tariffs. He's not going to get the revenue either, right? So something doesn't add up.
You know, Sandy, the frustrating part about all of it is the people who just continue to support him in spite of what well-educated people who do things for a living say. To totally dismiss people who are economists who have sent out warning signals that if he does what he says he's going to do, they'll be hell to pay, and the very people who he's promised to help are going to be the ones hurt the most. They don't know that.
Well, who are the truthsayers and who are these who's experts? These are the establishment. These are the Eastern elite. These are the elite intelligentsia. These are the university-trained elite. These are the very people that Donald Trump has spent a lot of time, and the MAGA movement spent lots of time discrediting. These are people who are all part of the deep state. This is the enemy from within, the elite. And don't listen to them. When they tell you that I'm talking hooey, don't listen to them, because they're the very establishment that I'm leading you against. And really, this all sounds crazy, but this is really, I think, in a bottle. This is a distilled analysis of what Donald Trump represents. He is the ultimate anti-establishment. He has captured the people who are angry with the elite And the intelligentsia, the people who are woke, the people who want to talk about the things that they don't want to listen to or think about, that they are frightened by or angry about. It's the LGBTQ. It's whatever issue critical race theory. It's the things that are damaging our children in school. It's anti-Christianity. These are the people that are doing all of this to you. And so if you're a person who's embracing that outlook, then there's nobody that's going to put a dent in Donald Trump by telling you the truth about him, because consider the source.
So we're going to talk about a lot of things this morning, as always, but I want to pick one cherry out of what you just talked about to begin with. Christianity. So many people who profess to be Christians are supporting Donald Trump. And I was reading this article earlier today about all of his Christian advisors. That's an oxymoron, man. How
spiritual advisors
with Donald Trump?
Yeah.
How could that possibly be?
Well, he doesn't
be?
Listen to advisors of any kind, so I guess ipso facto, he's probably not listening to them. But the fact is that he's got them, and he's fooled all people of faith. I mean, what did he do? He delivered to these people the three justices on the Supreme Court who overturned Roe v. Wade. Okay, that was the promise that was made. He kept it. He did that in spite of the fact that there's nothing about him personally that manifests Christianity.
So there are Christians who are supporting Donald Trump who I know have to be embarrassed, because, you know, I've had pause to read the Bible a couple times in my life, and there's nothing in any of those teachings that would lead me to believe that Donald Trump is somebody who follows any of the precepts of Christ.
No. Humility, empathy,
he's got
kindness,
none of that.
Yeah.
So
generosity.
So those of you who are Christians who are listening, help me understand. As Sandy and I understand, 855-752-4842. Where there's a correlation between Donald Trump and your Christian walk, your faith walk, man, there is none.
Well, I think the only connection is that they want those who are backing him want the government to do things that will promote their view of religion, which would be, I guess, vouchers for parochial schools. It would be putting more religion into the public schools. It would be
the
abortion issue. So it's all social culture issues. And the problem I have with that is that they ought to at least call the spade the spade. It's definitely contrary to the First Amendment, but they're doing it in the name of so-called religious freedom. So they sort of turn that on its head and argue that what they want is the religious freedom that's involved with installing religion.
So I want to delve a little bit deeper on the other side, Sandy, on what you just said. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax on everyday products. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. a Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Not a lot of kind of repetition.
Well, I'm kind of grasping.
I've got the lyrics
that
down.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1 is an important part.
It's a countdown. This song is called Countdown. And there you go. Well, we're in a countdown. I was looking for music that relates to a countdown. This was the most extreme.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with the one and only Sandy Williams. You can join us at 855-752-4842 and remind us again.
The countdown to the vote. I could have had the count from, I didn't have yet. 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, so Sandy, before we go to the audience, this whole thing about religion, and ever since I was a young boy, I always heard about the separation of church and state and how important that really was, and that the founding fathers knew the
potential oppression.
Of what could happen if you did that. Now, we often hear people talk about the founding fathers and what they meant and how important it was. Why is it okay then that we, in this instance, we say, well, the founding fathers, they didn't know what they're talking about as it relates to religion.
Well, yeah, they want to twist it and say, well, the founding fathers were all Christian, and the language they used words that related to Christian vernacular. And so, you know, it's all part of the basis for this Christian nationalism. This was all birthed, I think, by Rex Reed and the marriage that occurred between conservative evangelical, the religious association that was put together by Rex Reed, and Republican politicians, Newt Gingrich being a main one, who recognized the connection that could be made and the power that could be facilitated by getting this evangelical Christian movement heavily involved in politics. Abortion was the ripe issue that got everyone's attention and created the coalescence. And since the mid-90s has been the paramount issue, you know, and it wasn't, for Donald Trump, I think it was a matter of convenience. He wanted to grab a hold of that handle and make the promises he did about overturning Roe v. Wade. Now he's found out it's politically inconvenient. And I should think that the evangelical movement would be dismayed by the rapidity with which Donald Trump has obviously found it inconvenient to be anti-abortion pro-life and how much he's bending in the other direction for political convenience.
You know, Sandy...
But the problem with getting evangelicals heavily involved in the political process is that they began to view politics as a tool to be used by religion to promote religion.
Let me ask you before we go to the phone line. So, okay, I understand the feelings of Christians as it relates to abortion. But the other part of that is LGBTQ. And so Christians, that's another one of those things that they feel that they certainly want to bring pressure on our government to kind of follow the precepts of what they believe and that other people don't have rights. But when you do these things, Sandy, aren't you taking away the rights of people? And you know, you can be a Christian or you can be a Buddhist or Hindu or whoever you are, a Muslim, but that shouldn't, in our nation, that's the one thing that we were not supposed to be a party to.
Well, imposing your moral will on others who aren't necessarily accepting it themselves is the whole basis for the First Amendment. That's what people are against.
Yeah.
Is the imposition of a moral authority on people through the government in some process. And to leave everyone, you know, the precept behind the First Amendment was leave everyone to their own, to have their own right to believe as they wish, which gives them the ultimate freedom to wish and believe as they see fit, which was something that wasn't allowed in the Europe that all these people left. And was allowed here, and so now the notion of imposing religious belief through political or governmental processes would seemingly be anathema to that. But I guess that there's something kind of invidious about the idea that you can impose moral will on others, your moral will or the moral will that you see, you can impose that on others, and the government is the tool for that.
And Sandy, one particular religion... Not any others. You're not advocating for religion across the board. You're advocating for one standard religion in the entire nation. That's what they're speaking
well,
for.
Well, Christianity, I guess.
Yes.
The Christians, well, we got a lot of diversity. We got the Methodists. We got the Lutherans.
Right.
We got the...
Right.
We got, but yeah, that's right. You know, the idea that Christianity is the required belief and that's the one that should be accorded privilege within the political process as compared to other religions. And that, to me, is a very troublesome thing because, you know, if the majority view became something other than that, how would all those Christians feel?
You know, Sandy, it is, again, something that Donald Trump has jumped on. And out of all the people to represent Christianity, he ain't the one.
Well, it's convenient. You know, it's convenience is what's involved here. It's expedient, okay? And expedience is exactly what Donald Trump is about. When you're grifting, you promise everybody everything. And if you can find something that they particularly feel strongly about that you can promise them, then you promise them that.
So, well, Sandy, grifting quickly, what is that for people who
grifting,
may
grifting is the con man. A grifter is someone who... Cons, right?
It's yeah, a chicken yeah. in every pot.
Exactly.
Welcome. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. I promise you we'll get to you on the other side. Hang on, guys.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A ballot box fire in the state of Washington is causing changes to the county of Washington and Wisconsin. Washington County Executive Josh Showman says they'll be bolstering security measures following fires at ballot drop boxes in the Pacific Northwest. Showman pointed to the incidents as evidence supporting his push for surveillance cameras at drop boxes. The county has allocated $3,000 for round-the-clock camera monitoring of ballot drop boxes after hundreds of ballots were destroyed out west. When a new charter school opens in Wisconsin, there's about a 50-50 chance that it closes within the next 5 years. Savannah Tomei Olson has more.
Wisconsin has one of the higher closure rates in the U.S. for charter schools. A new report from the Center for Charter School Accountability shows nationally 25% of them close within the first 5 years. Here in Wisconsin, it's over 45%. Charter schools get public funding, but are usually run by private entities. They're often billed as alternatives for families who want more options. But what do you do when that school you handpicked is set to close? Jenny Hofschulte of the Wisconsin Public Education Network.
That's 45% of those families put into a lurch and having to make pivots and new choices for their children.
She says traditional public schools are happy to welcome these kids back, but local districts often have to move really fast to place them. Wisconsin currently has more than 200 registered charter schools.
There's a chance today to learn more about the possible MPS changes. Milwaukee Public Schools has put out a list of 13 schools that could potentially close or merge as part of their ongoing long-range master plan. The announcement comes after a significant drop in district-wide enrollment. MPS officials stress that no final decisions have been made. There's a meeting early this evening at the Central Services Building. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Matthew Perry died over a year ago, but the story is still very much in the news. Variety reports that Perry's family is taking legal action against the doctors and those who supplied him with ketamine. Perry's mother and stepfather and three siblings appeared on the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and discussed the pending 2025 trial against two of the parties that supplied the drugs to Perry. Charges were brought after a joint LAPD-DEA investigation into Perry's death. What could possibly be more fun than a Timothy Chalamet look-alike contest in New York City? How about Timothy Chalamet actually crashing the party? The actor showed up incognito at first to a sea of young men who looked similar and surprised everybody when he removed sunglasses and a mask, then posed for selfies with contestants. The contest was promoted by the use of flyers over the last few weeks. The winner was to receive a $50 prize. Seems kind of lame. In case you're wondering, the actual Timothy Chalamet took third place. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be warm and windy today with near record highs in the upper 70s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south gusting to between 30 and 40. Tonight, 66. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with falling temperatures and a chance of thunderstorms late tomorrow into tomorrow night. We'll drop into the upper 60s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X, and I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour finds us in Viroqua, Wisconsin, with Trigby Olson and Reed Galen. Come on downtown Viroqua and join us on the air.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
casa y todos le gritan
¡Bule, bule!
Well, I know what this is.
Bule bule.
That's in a different. That's not in English.
No, it's just the Spanish version.
Is that the way you wanted it?
Yeah, because the countdown in the beginning, which we missed, was the countdown in Spanish.
Oh, all right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy, and Sandy, the music selection.
Well, it's the countdown to the election. Everyone should get out and vote. We're counting down. We've got 7 days. Bully, bully.
So listen, we've been talking about, if you're just joining us, Donald Trump's relationship to Christianity and how Donald Trump and many people have seemed to disavow the relationship between church and state, which used to carry some weight.
You mean disavow the fact that there should be a disconnect?
Yeah, between church and state.
Yeah, well.
And now that doesn't seem to be an issue.
Well, the Christian nationalist movement basically sees it just the opposite. You know, they think that the First Amendment right to freedom of religion involves a freedom to install religion into government processes, okay, which is kind of like turning the Constitution on its head in my mind, because the separation of church and state, I think, was designed to be absolute, so you wouldn't get into a lot of gray areas. And you know, the ACLU has been out there for a long time kind of trying to police this and make sure that one of the areas that is protected carefully is the freedom of religion and the freedom from installing religion into government in such a way that it might become oppressive to the beliefs that other people might hold that are inconsistent.
So one of the other issues here is religion and religions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Hey, hi, you guys. Well, first of all, Donald Trump does not represent the Christian right, okay? I think he calls himself a Christian, and I can't judge it, so I really don't know. Only God will know. I don't follow Donald Trump. He's no snake salesman that the Christian right is following like he's our savior. It's not like that.
They're supporting him, Gary. They support him.
I support him because, first of all, Kamala Harris doesn't even call herself a Christian, because the other day in, what is it, La Crosse, when she went out there and some guy yells out, "Jesus is Lord," and she says, "Hey, you're at the wrong rally here, buddy." You know, so she doesn't.
So let me ask you before
well,
you go
I,
any further.
I think she does claim to be a Christian.
Yes, she does. But before you go any further, because a guy says Jesus is Lord, there are other people in the audience who don't agree with that. So is she supposed to say yes? There are other people in the audience who don't agree with that, Gary.
She could have said right on and then just kept
going. Why would she say that?
Well, anyway, I mean, how silly. Like, I mean, like, you, but go ahead, Gary. But I think you are out on a limb to try and accuse her of not being a Christian. I think this woman has had a history of being a Christian.
Yeah, okay. But going back to Donald Trump, me being part of the Christian right, this is how I look at life. Okay, Donald Trump had a come-to-Jesus moment. Being shot, getting hit in the ear, one microsecond or turn from being have his head completely blown off, and then another attempt on his life. So I believe that he's a changed person, and if he had to relive his life all over again, I don't think that he would have done half the stuff he did.
Let me just respond to one thing quickly. So a come to Jesus moment means you change inside and the person that you are. And so I haven't seen any change in him. So when you say he's had this come to Jesus moment, you know, like Sandy said, the humility,
Empathy, compassion,
all those things. Well, he has none of that.
I mean, I think it's what's interesting is people want to attribute. I mean, there, but for the grace of God, he could have been shot in the head. Okay, so he was lucky, but luck doesn't carry with it necessarily a change in persona.
There was a day when I was 17, I had a come to Jesus moment when I was 17. Okay. I'm 72 right now. I had that moment.
Okay.
And I did change my life.
Okay, Gary, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tim from New Berlin. Good morning to you, Tim. You say what?
First of all, learn history. 1947, Plessy versus the United States. There is no such thing as separation of church and state. It's the founding fathers, overwhelmingly Christian, decided that they did not want a state church like the Church of England. That's what they put into the Constitution, freedom of religion, but no separation of church and state. That's a fallacy brought on by liberal cockroaches like yourself. Hey.
Oh, my goodness.
Why don't you tell us how you really feel? But that's what we run into, man. You know, that's the reality. That's a MAGA guy.
Well, I don't know. I think civility should reign here.
Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Hey, good morning. You know,
he told us that
between Christians
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say there is a difference between Christians and evangelicals. Trump just had a rally within the last week with a bunch of evangelicals, and they were all calling him Jesus. And it's on tape. You could find it. So there are some nut jobs out there. But what I wanted to kind of say is, you know, these people who selectively read the Bible, it's like genocide is biblical. Loving your enemy is biblical. But only one is Christ-like. Slavery is biblical. Chain breaking is biblical, but only one is Christ-like. Patriarchy is biblical. Counterculture elevation of woman is biblical, but only one is Christ-like. Retribution violence is biblical. Grace-filled restoration is biblical, but only one is Christ-like. Segregation is biblical. Unity is biblical, but only one is Christ-like. It just comes down to Christ transforms, not the Bible. But, you know, so it just drives me insane, all this stuff. And like this last caller, no, it is. It's separation from government and the church. It is said there. I don't care what little blurb he read by some right-wing thing back then. There's a reason for this. It's because we are not all Christian in this country. We have a huge Jewish population, a huge Muslim population, and again, which as Sandy was pointing out, which Christ are we following? The teachings of Lutherans or Catholics or all the others.
Hey Tom, so, thank you. Thank you very much for the call, Sandy. That's the point.
Well, I guess the point is I don't want to be viewed as being anti-religion or anti-Christian in this conversation. You know, how this came up really was the conjunction of Christianity into government, and the whole notion of Christian nationalism, I think, is how we got merged into this. But and I think the question is, it's ironic that Donald Trump would become the paragon figure for a movement that is premised on, for instance, Christianity. But you know, if we the more
love
we talk,
neighbor,
the more
love we, neighbor
the more
thyself.
We, yeah, the more we talk about this, the more it's possible, I suppose, to paint the people talking as people who are anti-religion. We're not anti-religion.
No,
I'm not anti-religion.
No, we're not.
And I'm
not.
And, you know, and I just think that religion does well to proselytize amongst the people and to convert those to their religion as they see fit. And to be actively involved in the community, the religious community in which they reside. The problem is when you export that into government, you know, and there are plenty of people who have been paranoid about, for instance, the exportation by Muslims of Sharia law into the government of the United States, which, you know, is really the same thing that is the notion that is being talked about by Christian nationalists of importing Christian principles into the legal structure of the United States. you know, that sauce is for the goose and sauce is for the gander.
All right, let's go to Linda from Eclair. Good morning to you, Linda. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, I got to tell you, a while ago, there was a guest on Civic Media, a woman who had grown up, I believe, in North Carolina with what you call national Christian nationalist parents. And she was extremely enlightening about what is going on with this. They have captured the word Christian. They are not, it is not a Christian, a true Christian movement or whatever. There was a film in Eau Claire recently. I'm so sorry I missed it. I'm trying to find it. I hope we can show it. It's called Bad Faith. I don't know if you've heard about that, but it gives a whole history of how for decades this movement has been infiltrating, how they've gotten a list of people, and they individually have contacted people. Anyway, Bad Faith. These people, they have taken the word Christian. They are not Christians.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Again, you know, this is not to condemn evangelical Christianity. It's the fact that none of these things should even play a role in determining who the president of the United States is going to be.
Well, and I think we got into this because of my discussion of the fact that I think Donald Trump seizes upon everything that's expedient to be to make promises to everyone, to make them the promises that they want to hear. And there are plenty of promises that the evangelicals would like to hear, and he's willing to provide to them. There are plenty of promises that everyone would like to hear. And I think the grift of Donald Trump is to promise everything without any clear path to accomplishing any of them, but to allow each person who hears the promise they like to embrace that promise and say, he's my man, he's going to deliver on that promise, and all those other ones, those are just to get elected, okay? And everyone can come up with that. And like I said, last week we listened to Senator Ron Johnson make the same kind of apologies for him. You know, he's not going to impose across-the-board tariffs. That's just talk. That's just negotiation. Well, what of all these promises that Donald Trump is making are the real ones, okay? And which ones are just talk? And I think they're all just talk, except for when he gets into power, the ones that enhance Donald Trump power. And those are the ones that'll get implemented.
You know, Sandy, this, again, for the sake of clarity, this is not about people being anti-Christian or saying one sect of Christianity is different than any other sect of Christianity. That's not what we're talking about. And so, you know, that's a fight that's gone on long before you and I were here.
Well, I know, but I mean, just the expedience, the point I was trying to make, the expedience of Donald Trump is demonstrated by how quickly he has receded from being the world's greatest champion on right to life and backed off on that as quickly as he sees a fit because of the politics of it. You know, Roe v. Wade, like before that decision happened, I predicted that when the dog caught the bus, it was going to be a problem.
I just think it's hard to say a guy who holds a Bible backwards and upside down and a guy who sells the Bible
for profit. Autographed versions of the Bible, which struck me as kind of blasphemous.
It's a guy that should be held up, you know, in Christendom. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We'll come right back.
Well, and incidentally, anyone who wants a Bible for free can go to a hotel. The Gideons give them away. Donald Trump sells them.
$67.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy. But that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they, them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
I don't know about you, man. I worry about you sometimes.
Missing the countdown.
The music, you know.
Janet Jackson.
But genres from everywhere.
Me.
Well, 855-752-4842. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy. We'll just go right back to the phone lines. Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call, as always. A quick question. Is there anything closer to your heart than your faith? Is there anything more personal than one's faith? I can't think of one off the top of my head. When I listened to Gary in the other end of the break, immediately when he began talking about, you know, Christianity and, you know, trying to justify Donald Trump's comments and platform, et cetera, he immediately responded by attacking Kamala Harris and saying,
yes,
she's not a Christian. Immediately. The first thing out of his mouth after you brought it up. And that's exactly why the Founding Fathers said no to this nonsense. It's nobody's business, your faith, but your own.
True.
And for somebody to come out there with a big stick and start swinging around and hitting people because they're not falling in line with their own version of their faith or their Christianity is exactly what the Founding Fathers were guarding against. Exactly. You know, what we have found here, and thank you for the caller from Eau Claire, talked about the movie Bad Faith. That's where you're going to find a lot of these little nuggets that are so important that's being thrown in our faces on a regular basis. But the reason why I called is, you know, what we've all been complaining about for a long, long time, decades now, is how our society's become unequal. How certain things, certain norms like separation of church and state are now, those lines are blurred, and our whole system is under attack. Our whole American way of life as we've known it has been under attack. It's because we are now an unequal society. Many people believe, many of the economists are saying that we are the most unequal society on earth. And so what many of us, I think your show represents, is a protest against that. You know, we want to bring light to the to the real issues. We want to have healthy debates and discussions on what is relevant in our lives and what is ongoing that we're dealing with every day. And when they hijack, when one group hijacks things like Christianity, all it does is it throws everything into a whirlwind. We have to start all over again. So this has got to stop. It has to stop. We have to control the media. We have to regulate them so we can somehow get our fiduciary, you know, what we need to know, the public needs to know, first and foremost in front, instead of profit being first and foremost.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Well said, as always. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what? Tom? Let's go to Sam from McClare. Good morning to you, Sam. You say what?
Okay, I kind of think Donald Trump is pretty much a complete fraud. He lies about a lot of stuff, and they call it disinformation. It's not disinformation, it's lies. Come on, let's get down to business. Let's get down to reality here. Those four guys on the commercial who said, you know, Pence is not going to support them. And that one guy said, the one thing Donald Trump believes in the most is Donald Trump. And those four guys know Trump real well because they sat in meetings with him a lot and all that. There's so many people who bought into Trump's stuff. You know, they worked for him and stuff, and then they found out what he's really like. Then they don't want anything to do with them anymore. And I agree with that. The one thing Donald Trump believes in the most is Donald Trump, and I think he's mostly a complete fraud. He has no compassion or sympathy or empathy for anybody else, and that's why I'm gonna vote for Kamala Harris probably.
Hey, Sam, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it, man. Thank you for listening. Sam is the kind of guy, Sandy, you can kind of tell. Just a hardworking guy who is not caught up in all these other things. But you heard what he had to say.
Well, I do think that people should sit up and wake up and listen to this person and put him into the category they would put him in were he not in the position that he's in terms of being an ex-president and running for president. If they would simply meet this person and have the impression of this person that they would get from meeting him behaving as he does, I don't think he would even be in contention, wouldn't even be in the thought process for an office like the presidency or much of any position of responsibility. But, I think the problem is that he's become a brand, and I think people should investigate within themselves what it is about that brand that they find appealing. And we can talk about that on the other side. But I think that what that brand stands for is something that's entirely independent from who Donald Trump is.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
Pat Kreitlow. Wednesday in our homeroom segment, a closing message to voters about the importance of saying yes to public schools and no to the politicians who threaten them.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Today's WAUK Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Bricks and Minifigs in Brookfield. Brace yourselves, for your Lego Haven awaits. Offering minifigure sets, bricks, and accessories. Buy, sell, trade, it's all here. Bricks and Minifigs believes in the power of Lego to inspire creativity and bring joy to builders of all ages. Go to WAUKradio.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and purchase $20 gift certificates for just $10. Today only at WAUK Big Deals.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.